Now it's time for the Punters Panel, where we speak with local older people about the issue of the day. And the Punters Panel today, in the studio with me today, first of all, we have Beverly Baker, a resident of Redfern. And Beverly, I understand you're the chair of the Older Women's Network New South Wales.
I have that honour at the moment, yes.
And the other guest that we have today is my very handsome brother, Joseph Forillo, a 64-year-old gentleman from right here in Marrickville. We've just been listening to Susan Ryan talking about ageing discrimination and stigma as we age. I want to ask you both, have you discovered that you're becoming invisible?
Yes, but a lot of people feel the same way. I think that our service people are really, really busy and take the person who looks like is going to cause them the most angst rather than and step over people who don't look like they're going to be much of a danger. In terms of being invisible, you make yourself visible, really. You know, you're being abused if you're being treated rudely. You say, excuse me, please don't treat me like that.
That's certainly what Susan Ryan says. What about you, Jo?
I don't know if I'd say invisible. I'd say ignored. because people are visible, but people's eyes glaze over and their mind drifts off as you might start sharing something. That's boring. It's coming from an old person. And you tend to... So I see it as ignored, blotted out. I suppose invisible is a fair enough thing, but it's also just something that people make an assumption, and I suppose it could well be a stereotyping or a stigma that there's nothing here, just move on. But
didn't we do that when we were young as well? I mean, I can remember my grandfather giving me this talk about what it was like in the war and thinking, really? I mean, that's all then, this is now. The thing that fascinates me the most now, though, is that the things that we are being deliberately set up, it's a political decision to create ageism. The whole idea that baby boomers are rotten thieves and have stolen everything and it's all our fault that the young people can't get anything, the number of people that are swallowing that rhetoric is quite alarming. In fact, I was referred to as a good baby boomer as opposed to a bad baby boomer.
I wouldn't know whether that was insulting or flattering.
Well, I'm still trying to work that out. But the thing is that baby boomers aren't bad. Baby boomers are a generation. It's a huge generation. It's 20 years. The things that my end of the baby boomer fought for were picked up and benefited at the bottom end of the baby boomer. I didn't get free education. I didn't get free university. I struggled for superannuation, didn't come in until it was 1992. The things that we fought for were in place by the time I was in my 30s, which was in time for my younger brother and sister to benefit from those, certainly not from my benefit. We are now also told that baby boomers have got so much that really we can't afford to pay them the pension and they should sell their homes to pay for the pension. Now, for me, that's frightening. I'm 69, I still have a mortgage. I'm paying that off. The idea that at some stage between now and when I finally retire, I'm going to have to mortgage my house to get a pension that I have spent my entire working life paying for is really quite frightening and is unjust because it's not the bulk of the baby boomers who are getting the rort that is the franking credits. That's less than 12% of the managed super funds. If we have super, which for me, working woman part-time, don't have a lot of, we didn't get that till... It's not going to be enough for me to live on. I'm going to have to get it supplemented by the pension.
You got anything to add there, Joe?
I suppose I understand a bit more when you said, you know, our eyes glazed over with the oldies, but I suppose also they fought for stuff that they would say that we benefited from. And certainly... you know, I think it was most, you could say too, there was a little bit of an ignorance on our side not to appreciate what was, what those old people had to say and to do for us. But certainly I agree with you that There is a prejudice that, you're all right, you're going to manage. And yes, I think there is an element where we've got the best of things. Conditions have changed, certainly. I mean, you won't see a defined superannuation benefit anymore, but that was around in our day. So certainly things are got harder, but at the same time, there are ongoing difficulties and new challenges that we have to face that people before us haven't. And so there is this cut out for us as well.
Now you both talked about the way in which it seems like every generation abuses the old of the previous. And when I'm talking about aging, I mean anybody over 55. And this program is for anybody over 55. But Susan Ryan was talking about how in some societies there seems to be an inbuilt regard for older people, and her conclusion was that that's absent here in Australia, or it doesn't exist to quite the extent it does elsewhere. Anything to...
Well, it doesn't exist in the settled or the invaded culture, but in Aboriginal culture it is certainly there. The elders are called elders. It's not a title bestowed, it's earned because of the knowledge and the value that they have for their communities. They are the repository of the culture and the information, and that's respected. It doesn't mean that they aren't, you know, people don't still raise their eyebrows and go, oh, really, Gran? But that is a cultural thing that we do not have. Old people are meant really to be quiet and let all the work and energy be done by young people, even though human beings live to the age that they do, because old people take on some of the heavy burden of child rearing and working with young people and the next generation to get those things happening.
Yeah, you make a really good point about the Indigenous culture, because for me that's, you know, we opening ourselves up more to the influence of the Indigenous culture, even having the acknowledgement to country, it's going to be good for older people because, as you say, there is that culture, and that might help change our own culture. But the more we acknowledge the Indigenous culture, then the more we're going to have the opportunities for acknowledgement and respect of elders amongst ourselves. But I think it's also true that we do lack a lot of cultural supports, but also social and economic and legislative. I had the opportunity to work in France, and the company I worked for, I'm not sure if it was legislated, but certainly they had signed up for it. They were required to recruit a certain number of people over 50, 60, plus in terms of HR, according to your age, you were eligible to other programs that weren't available to other people.
And we certainly don't do that here.
We don't. Yeah. And I think there are practical things that can make a difference. So even being part of a mentoring program where you'd sign up to be able to help some younger person in the company. Okay.
Keep going. Yes, indeed.
Just especially when you're talking about politicians lifting the retirement age to 70. Mm. If you are struggling to get a job when you hit 50, you are sitting on that wretched New Start and all of the hideous provisions of that that make you feel subhuman, less than a real person. For 20 years, I mean, really and truly, let's wake up to this.
Yeah,
there's got to be some big changes. There's got to be some huge changes.
I mean, look, once people see the economic benefit of getting older people engaged, and it's like renewables, suddenly the tide has turned and people can see the economics of it. It's not just altruism that's driving big investment in it. There's going to be money in this. It's the same with older people. Once the resource is well utilised, well understood and rolled out, then yes, there'll be stuff. But as for feminism, you have to fight for it, and you have to make the opportunities and possibilities visible.
And we're the ones to do the fighting.
Oh, yeah. I've got my walking stick and pitchfork.
Well, I think we join with young folk, because the young folk are the ones that are going to benefit from them. I think we have got a lot more in common with our sons and daughters, but our grandchildren.
Yes, definitely.
We've got a lot more in common than anyone else has. They're struggling to find places to rent. They're struggling to find homes to buy. They're struggling to find work. They're struggling the same way as older people are struggling. And it's not a them and us. If we join together, that would unleash a potential that would be awesome. So I'm going after young people.
And you too, Joe?
Yes, but at the same time, I think we need to do our part.
Okie doke. Joseph Furillo and Beverly Baker, thank you for joining us today on the Punters Panel.